After a lot of good years writing and recording music, Atlanta-based musician Angie Aparo's life took a sharp turn in April of 2016. He suffered a spontaneous carotid artery dissection. That's a rare form of stroke that left him unable to communicate and with a critical memory lapse. Now, 2 years after the potentially crippling incident, he's back, performing in local venues in and around Atlanta, and is here to talk with us about his long road to recovery. Angie Aparo, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Angie, you woke up on that day feeling some nausea, terrible, terrible headache. Apparently, this was a tear in your carotid artery. Did you know that you were having a stroke?
Well, there's no way to know that your carotid is torn or dissected, but you do get apparently massive headaches. I've had crazy headaches, but these were like a whole nother crazy level. And so I thought my neck was out or something. So I was going to the chiropractor, and I guess what happens is, I thank God I pulled into the parking lot. I had the stroke in the parking lot. But I guess with a dissection, what I'm kind of learned is that your body's sort of trying to heal itself. So it essentially is like a clot is sort of forming, and that sort of went to my brain because there was no really cholesterol or plaque in my arteries and all that. So it just creates this big, massive kind of tear, and then there's stuff floating around now in your brain. So that's what I understand is what happened. So I pull up to the chiropractor, and I just felt really weird. And stuff looked weird. The colors looked weird out in the sky. And I had the car running, and I was like early. The last thing I remember is I opened the door, and then it was just two things happened. The headache went away, and I was just like kind of like you don't know what's happening. You just are losing all your ideas and thoughts. And the radio went off, which I guess they say you lose your hearing it for a moment. And then I was kind of, oh, man, now something's going on. And then I kind of froze up and got paralyzed a little bit and went on for a while. And then it just went away. And all of a sudden, when it went away, I was like, oh, my God, I knew immediately. So then I just looked at the chiropractor's office, and I kind of, now I was sort of walking drunk and stumbling. And I got in there, and the crazy part is that it's a chiropractor that I never go to. She was just there that day, and she had had a stroke a few years ago, and she knew exactly what was going on. I live on Hilton Head, and I was in a hospital within 20 minutes. I mean, that's what probably saved a lot of damage.
Wow, so pretty freaky experience from the sound of it. And what's the prognosis for this? Were you going to, you know, the potential of losing some cognitive ability?
Mine was mostly in vocabulary, is sort of the best to recover from. Of course, I had no idea, you know, I was in the middle of writing a record. I had a rock opera I was working on. I had a TV show maybe coming out with Tim McGraw, and I was like, "This, you're not giving me this isn't good news. It's just going to be." I'm like, "Oh my God, I can't even talk to you, and I can't even write," you know. And but that the stroke, once they settled it down and got all my meds figured out, and you have to, I think, get past a certain window, 30 or 40 days, and then your percentages go down more. But the dissection is. It's still my problem. It's still the problem now. They couldn't operate on it. So that there's sort of these two entities that were two things that were going on. So kind of was relearning stuff, music stuff and words, and then now they're just watching this because they don't want to. It's kind of dangerous wherever it tore. So that's sort of what I'm dealing with here. And then the mental comeback was kind of, it was crazy. It was a very, my neurologist said, he knew I was a songwriter and a singer. And he said, you know, I was talking to him, I said, I gotta do this now. I got a record coming out. You know, I was just kind of mad. And, he said, well, I said, I want to be in therapy every day. He's like, it's impossible. You don't have the money.
There's no real treatment for it.
Insurance is going to pay for it. You know, every day is like maybe two a week. It's just, he's like, that's not going to happen. And I said, well, you gotta, and he told me, it was amazing. And I know this is what saved me. I guess the subtype of aphasia that I had, I don't know what the name is, but it's sort of like I can look at my phone, and I know what it is, but I can't tell you.
Mm-hmm. So you can't find you couldn't find the word.
Can't find the word.
Oh, for a songwriter, and a
yeah.
singer, that's
so I could write. You know, the dog ran down the street in my head, and I couldn't say it to you. So he said, music. Well, you need to go sing everything you see in the world, and I was like, what the hell is this guy talking about? And he said, I just go to a grocery store, anywhere there's a lot of items, and just when you see something and you know the name and you think you can say it, sing it. So it'd be like, there's a ketchup, just anything stupid. But he said, we teach, you know, kids A, B, C, D, E, F, G, D. It's all this attachment to melody and word is very quick. And so he said, I did it for months, and he said, it will reprogram, your brain will sort of find another little spot and start another little library.
Well, you got a little bit more sophisticated on your new record.
Yeah.
Then there's the ketchup in the aisle. The latest album is called Life as a Flower, Life as a Gun. Now, this was released in February. Let's listen to a clip. This is from a song called Church Bells Versus the Television from the album.
Read my note from today.
Church Bells Versus the Television. Church Bells Versus the Television.
Church Bells Versus the Television.
So in that song, as with a number of songs, we hear you talking to Siri on the phone and her responding. I mean, why did you include this?
When I was still trying to come back and I just couldn't, I would write something down and I just couldn't remember it. And I was like, how am I going to, you know, make a record? I can make a record. I can stumble through that. But how am I going to play these things live? You know, I just still was under this idea that I would never get it back. And my neurologist was like, it's going to come back. But I just didn't want to wait. And I was just trying to make the record probably earlier than I should have. So I came back to my studio, which is just in my bedroom, and I started going. It just wasn't working. And so I had a friend, a rapper friend of mine that is amazing, and I thought maybe I'll make a rap, you know, sing record, like, you know, folk kind of rap singer record, and he can rap the verses, and I can remember enough for, you know, that kind of thing. So I met with him, and I just, it was just, I couldn't work with people. It was just too difficult to be in a, there was so much in my head going on, and I couldn't really... Interaction wasn't great, and I don't know if I can produce something with someone else with me. It just became too much. So I, when I thought about it a little longer, so I got back to the thing, and I had remembered before the stroke. I always write my lyrics on my phone usually, and this is when I was fine. I had remembered being at the mic with my guitar, and I'm sitting there. And I'm going to sing this part of the song, and I can't remember it. So I used to always say, you know, Siri, read me the note from today, whatever. And she'd go back, and I'd look at my lyrics, and I'd sing and be fine. Well, I did it one time, and the mic was on, and I heard me asking her, and I heard her come back, and I remember doing it, and I went back and found it, and it was parts of like In Church Bells, but she wasn't being used there. And I was like, what if Siri is my rapper? And that's how it started. I was like, well, then I'm going to make a record with me and Siri. And so it took about a couple months to make that song because I was very slow, you know, 3 months, 3 hours, and I'd go to sleep for, you know, a day, whatever, was tired, very tiring. And then I told Susan Bennett, the original Siri voice, I talked with her on the phone about this, and it was weird after, it was bizarre that part of that therapy was me interacting with her. And she said, she hears that, she gets a lot of people, brain injury people, that would say that their interaction with Siri, it's a therapist, you know. So she would say, I was really recording her for the record, but I'm looking at it going, I can hear her talking it back to me. Yeah, so I'm talking my words or typing them. I was able to type then, like what the lyrics are, and I'm just trying to get her to say them so I can actually record her on the mic. And it did. It was like literally the by the second month, I used her for one other song a little bit, and by the third song, I was able to do it on my own.
Well, it is. It sounds like you're sort of crawling back, but still on this record, on the new album, there's a lot of personal tragedy there. There's the stroke that you're talking about and singing about, your divorce, your third divorce, a lot of vulnerability. And I know before this record, you had suffered some depression. And I wonder if, you know, you think that depression and getting to the other side of that, did that help you, give you capacity to get through this?
I mean, everything is a lesson. So that definitely creates some kind of strength, you know, to have not, you know, gone off the edge when you're younger and, you know, whatever, commit suicide or anything. I guarantee, yeah, definitely. It's really just, do you have purpose? I mean, it's, a lot of it just goes back to that, just to me. It's like one of my grandmothers lived to 105. The other one just died at 104. I mean, they're immigrant, you know, that came from that whole world. But I don't know if it's just like the artist kind of just wants to be heard or something. I don't know what it is. But no, I agree that the one of the songs on the record is about Sylvia Plath, is about the depression kind of stuff. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you obviously get stronger, you know, anything that doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
How long was it before you actually did pick up a guitar again?
The guitar I had no mobility problems. The guitar, it was all I'll tell you what's crazy about the guitar, which you don't realize how crazy the brain is. And I was like, I knew where all the fingers went for a G, but I looked at the letter G and I didn't know what G was.
Hmm.
It was that kind of thing.
So like, it was like a body physical memory, but no visual memory.
Yeah, you're like, you're going, you know, we as your guitar player, you go, a G looks like this. Well, it has a meaning, but it had no meaning to me. So it was easy. I just went online and looked up a G chart and, you know, oh, that's the G. Oh, that's the, so that came back like within a week or two. But then it was like, you know, a lot of it was, I couldn't, the carotid was on my left side where my hand is for the guitar. There was a lot of pain in this that I was having to, because it keeps tearing. The problem with the dissection is it keeps tearing. So I had, that was a window of about 8 months where I had to really do nothing to tear this. They didn't want me like coughing or, you know, like it got really gross. So the guitar itself came back pretty quickly.
Your first big break, really, in the music industry was after you wrote this song, Cry. I mean, you made a record.
Right, right.
Clive Davis, I think.
Yeah.
You heard you in his office and gave you a record contract back in the day when that kind of thing happened,
yeah,
I guess.
Back when there were record deals.
And then Faith Hill later recorded this song, Cry, on an album. She won a Grammy in 2003 for Best Female Country Vocal Performance. Let's hear just a little bit of that.
Yeah. Could you cry?
Now, I'm interested in the lyrics here because from what I understand, she actually changed a line of your song. Let's hear the difference between those two songs. Cry, the Angie Aparo version, and the Faith Hill version.
Give it up, baby. Whimper would be fine. Some kind of clue that you're doing time. Give it up.
So, Angie, is that something that you've done before? You know, change something to fit a particular singer?
Yeah, I mean, if that was the first song I've ever had covered by anyone, so you know, being a singer, to me, it's sort of like you're casting a character. I don't look at it like rewriting my song. I look at it like I'm just writing a version for her character.
I'm wondering, when you play now, do survivors of stroke, people who have had brain injuries, do they come up and speak to you? Do they relate to that?
A little bit, but not too much. I do get, what's weird is, I guess it's the whole thing of like any kind of survival, it sort of ignites. I get a lot from just things that have happened to other people that aren't strokes, that are survived a heart attack. It's just sort of the survival realm. So I, that does come up because I guess the artist, if they're open enough, your story has to be, you know, the story has to be told.
Angie Aparo is a stroke survivor who taught himself to play guitar and to sing again. He's currently on tour for his latest album. It's called Life is a Flower, Life is a Gun. He's going to be playing June 8th at the Mad Life Stage and Studios in Woodstock. And here's a clip of Angie playing Memphis City Rain in our studio in Midtown Atlanta.
A song. I've been here all along.
be here when the hatred is gone. Hey, can you recognize me? 'Cause I'm the light of the sun. And if you come with me, and if you let it be, sing my melody, yeah.
Andy Apparel played a couple of songs for us when he stopped by, and you can see video at gpbnews.org. That's our show for today. As always, we want to hear from you. Andy talked with us about using music to recover from a stroke. Have you ever had to relearn a skill? Give us a call at 404-500-9457, 404-500-9457. Or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter at OST Talk.